I reckon we're not having a special tonight. That blows me away every time. I forget that. But anyhow, good to see everybody tonight. And did y'all get any rain at your house today? You know, do you know why it rained, don't you? No, because I got in the garage, cleared a way out, backed my motorcycle out, and parked it out front, went in there and sat down and studied a little bit and done some things. And next thing I know, the wind was blowing, and I looked outside, and it was pouring down rain. My motorcycle got soaking wet. I got soaking wet getting it back inside. So that's why it rained. There you go. Well, that's a good thing, too. Well, the way I look at it is if I'd have rode it today, I might have gotten a wreck with it. Somebody had pulled out in front of me, and I might have get hurt or killed or something. So God says, you ain't doing it today. That's just the way I look at it. I just thank you, Lord. So I put it back in there and come on to church anyhow. Has anybody got a suggestion of what you'd like for me to preach tonight? The Bible. There you go, brother. Turn over to Psalms 100 then. Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Psalms 100. You know, I've been saved since 1972. And I haven't been in a whole lot of churches. I mean, I'm not a church hopper. I like to, when I get planted, I like to stay somewhere if that's where God wants. Every time I've moved, I've had a good biblical reason for moving. I think if you can't show the pastor and go to the pastor and tell him why you're leaving and show him in the Word of God why you're leaving, I think you're leaving out of God's will. So that's just what I'm talking about. And if there's a reason and God does move you, that's like when God moved us back down here, I fought that tooth and nail. I did not want to come back down here. I didn't want to be around all you Yankees. And I'm just kidding here. I love y'all. Even if you are a Yankee. Anyhow, I'll tell you. You know what started that, don't you? Me coming back when Miss Zora come up to me and she hugged me and she says, are you coming back here to be my pastor? And I looked to her right in her God-given eyeballs and I said, no, ma'am, I'm where God wants me. That's when I was in North Carolina. That lady had some contact with heaven, I do believe. And some of these other saints started praying around here. Here I am, so praise the Lord, it's y'all's fault. Psalms 100, the Bible says in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all your lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. And not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Lord, tonight we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace to us. And Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we can open the word of God and we can read it and we can just glean on the depth and the riches that is found there. And I just want to thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy and your grace to us. Thank you, Lord, for the day you saved our soul. We want to praise you tonight for that. But Lord, you've given us a church to worship you in. And I pray that God, the Spirit of God, Lord, would have that preeminence here tonight in every heart and every life, and let us truly have a worship service for you here tonight. And Lord, I do thank you for your mercy to us. Lord, I don't know why you saved me, but Lord, I sure do appreciate it. And I pray this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And Psalms 100 is a prophetic psalm, and it's one of the coronation psalms that anticipates the advent of the Messiah as king. Now see, when Jesus comes back, and that on Palm Sunday, we're getting ready to have Palm Sunday. That's pretty soon, ain't it? March the 29th? Okay. Anyhow, I never will forget. I'm not real good at preaching special messages on special days like Palm Sunday message and all this stuff here, but I did preach that one Sunday morning, and I never will forget this. I had a fellow, he's not going to church here anymore, so I can say it, I ain't going to call his name, but I preached, you know, how they laid the palms down in front of Jesus as he was coming in there, you know, and the scripture I used was, I believe, over in Matthew or one of the Gospels, and he come up to me after church, and he said, "Preacher, it doesn't say nothing about laying palms down there." And I just said, okay. So I just turned over to the other gospel over there and I read that to him. I said, "What does that say?" He said, "Palms." I said, "Before you start trying to correct the preacher, read the book and know what you're talking about."
Amen. That's
right. See, the Bible says rebuke not an elder. You got to understand that God does all the rebuking on me that I need and my wife. She keeps me straightened out. I'm not kidding. I mean, she does. Well, you know, we were in North Carolina. We'd come. I never will forget that. You know, that was basically, that's the church we started, you know, and I was kind of young in the ministry. And, man, I'd go up there and preach. And I, you know how you get where I said, "Man, that must have been a pretty good message. Boy, I tell you what." And on the way home, she started critiquing my message. And she still does that. And I got mad at first. But you know what? The Lord showed me something there. She's trying to help me. And whether she realizes it or not, I do listen to her. But you know, and I don't get this a whole lot, but every now and then, she'll say, "Honey, that was really a good message. Boy, I tell you what, man, that is something else." When my honey says, "That was a good message, that was a good message." I said, "I'm going to preach that again." But Psalms 100, you start thinking about what's being talked about here. King Jesus is going to reign in righteousness one day, I believe soon. And he's going to rule and he's going to reign here in righteousness and peace. And that righteousness and peace is going to cover the whole face of the earth. That's going to be during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. That's going to be a period of 1,000 years. That 1,000-year period, the devil is going to be chained in that bottomless pit, and nobody's going to have the excuse where they said, "The devil made me do it," because the devil's going to be completely out of the picture. And after he's loosed, the Bible says, for a season, he's going to go out and deceive millions and millions of people are going to follow him, and they're going to try to do battle with God. Now, if that ain't a stupid thing, how in the world can you fight against God? There's no way in the world. Now, the Bible tells us that at that time, that's when Psalms 100, in this chapter that I just read, is filled with instruction for God's children from the beginning to the end of it. Now, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." I believe the church ought to be beside heaven. The church ought to be the noisiest place that you can go to. I don't mean some football stadium or some basketball stadium, whatever. I'm talking about the house of God. We ought to have the joy of the Lord in our heart, and we ought to have praise on our lips and for God, for what he's doing. We got something to shout about, church. I mean, we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But you start thinking about everything that's going on and what's happening here, and I just want to preach a message tonight, and I don't know, I've had this thing put back in my Bible for probably a year, year and a half, and Lord just ain't giving me the liberty to preach it. But the choir done it tonight and everything, but I want to preach a message. If you want to put a title to it, I've got so much to thank him for.
Amen.
And I want to let you know, if you're saved here tonight, you have got so much to thank him for.
Amen.
And I believe God's people are not thankful enough to him. You say, "Well, preacher, how can you say that? Look at the way they live." I mean, if you're truly thankful to the one that saved you, If you're truly thankful for the one that bought you out of that horrible pit and picked you up and set your feet upon a rock, you put a new song in your heart, you've got the joy of the Lord in your heart, you've got something to be thankful for. And I believe it. If you've got it in here, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's going to come out of your heart. If you've got the joy of the Lord there, it's going to come out. I've got so much to thank Him for. I'm thankful for my Father. I don't mean my earthly Father. I'm thankful for Him, but also He's in heaven right now. But I'm thankful for my Heavenly Father. I can go to Him when I have a problem. I can go to Him when I see one of His children kind of getting out of line. And I want to let you know, I punch a hole into heaven every now and then for each one of you. I've called, I love you. And I tell you what, if you get out of line with God, I will come to you. That's my job.
Amen.
And I'll do it in love. And when I do, you better not get mad at me. You better talk to God about it. That's all I can say. Best thing to do is just stay right with Him, and I won't have to do nothing. But I'll tell you what, when it does happen, I will come to you. And I'd hate doing that, but I got to, as a pastor, I've got to do that. Sheep every now and then need to be sheared, don't they? You know, it feels good to them after they get sheared because they got that old heavy wool on them and they got all kind of probably burrs in there and they're just kind of uncomfortable and they hot and everything else. But when they cut all that stuff off, man, they're jumping around and just excited. And see, once in a while when you do get sheared, it makes you feel better. It does. It'll help you. But you know, the goodness of God, the Bible says, for God is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. There in Psalm 100, verse 5. His essential goodness is there. His everlasting mercy is there. His enduring truth is there. You know, the grace of God is there. The Bible tells us, and I'm thankful for that goodness of God, and I'm thankful for the grace of God. The Bible says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Over in 1 Peter 5:10. He's the God of all grace. You know, when folks have a problem, I can just tell them just what Paul told them. His grace is sufficient. No matter what you're going through, His grace is sufficient. It'll get you through to the other side. His grace is sufficient. The gift of God I'm thankful for. The Bible says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And that unspeakable gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, sometimes, you know, people ask you of the hope that's in you. And the Bible says to be ready always to have an answer to every man of the hope that is in you. Sometimes, you know, you ever get lost for words sometimes? I know some of you ladies don't, but some of you guys might. I'm just kidding there. Even if women do have, 7,000 words a day and men only 2,700, I think, something like that. That's a scientific fact. It is. So guys, when you come home and your wife has been stuck there all day by herself or with the kids or something, and she wants to talk, take the time to listen. I'm meddling now, ain't I? I don't make no difference how tired you are. Listen. That's right. Until it starts getting negative on you, and then just go in the other room. I'm just kidding there. If she's got something to say, you need to listen. But see, when God's got something to say, you need to better listen to what He's got to say. And I want to let you know that we have an unspeakable gift, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I never will. You know, the first message or lesson I ever taught, I never will forget this, was back in 1973. I was going to a little church, and it was right about Christmas time, and Brother Street was he was pastoring the church. We wasn't even starting a church yet. We just had a Bible study going on then, and We were getting together, and we paid for a 15 or 30, about a 30-minute radio broadcast every Sunday morning on one of the stations here in town. And his brother had an aneurysm on the brain, and he had to leave town, you know, like then. He hadn't had time to make the tape, and he called me up. He said, Bill, you think you can make a tape or do something or go down to the radio station or something and do something? And I says, okay, I didn't have a tape player. Back in them days, they're using reel-to-reel tape. You know, this has been quite a while ago. And so I just said, okay, Lord. And like I said, I'd never taught a Sunday school lesson. I'd never done anything like that. So I prayed God, and God gave me that verse, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Talking about his Christmas time. And I tell you what, that was an experience. I went in this little old room. There's a guy out there, up there, and he working the control panel, and I was in this little old tiny room. I had a glass here and had one of them old-timey speakers up here. And he said, when I point to you, start your own. And boy, I tell you what, when he pointed to me, it seemed like 5 or 10 minutes before I even said anything. I know it wasn't that long. But boy, I tell you what, I got to think. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me on this one. So I started reading that verse, and God took over. And I still got a recording of that, man. I tell you what, I just sit there and think how young I was. Listen to myself, I know that I didn't do that. I know God done it because I couldn't have done it. I didn't have it. I did not have it. I really didn't. God did it. And I tell you, it was a blessing. But I tell you what, sometimes if we are willing just to praise him, and that was the emphasis of the thing, being thankful for what God has done for us. A lot of times in this life, we get so caught up in life, don't we, that we forget the little things that God does for us. Amen. Those little things, I mean, you've got good health, you've got a place to live, you've got a job, you've got loved ones around, family, friends. We need to be thankful for those little things. God is a loving God, and we need to be thankful for the fact that he does love us. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He didn't have to save us, but he did. I thank God for it. I'm thankful for forgiveness. One of the most precious gifts that God gives to his children is the gift of forgiveness. You remember when you were growing up and you did something stupid? And your mama says, wait till your daddy gets home. You remember that time when you hear your dad driving up? You remember that feeling of, I wished I was dead feeling, you know? And then you hear that door open and you hear the door close and you're in your bedroom hiding under your bed or something. Then you hear your bedroom door open and you hear this voice, boy, or girl, where are you? You girls probably was in more trouble than the boys was anyhow. And then you go up there and your dad, you talk to him and you explain exactly what happened. And I mean, even if you got a spanking for it, if your dad was right with the Lord, he would always come up and hug you and tell you, I love you. And you know that there's forgiveness there. Amen. That's essential in our life. We need to know that when we have done something wrong and we confess it and we forsake it, that we have that forgiveness, especially from God, in our heart. We need that forgiveness. I thank him for that. Thank God that his mercy is extended to unworthy sinners like us. I don't deserve his forgiveness, but praise his holy name that through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness in his name. Forgiveness is accomplished. It says, the Bible says over in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Through his blood, we have the forgiveness of sins. You know, the NIV takes through his blood out. And guess what? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. So that's one reason I'm against that book. It's a book. It ain't a Bible. It's a book. Forgiveness is available. I like that too. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we'll confess it. A lot of people are too proud to confess that they are a sinner and they need a little bit of help and some forgiveness. Forgiveness, man, it's amazing to me. I start thinking about a holy and righteous God. I mean, everything that he is holy and righteous. And here we are. We might be saved, but here we are in this old flesh. We're still sinners. We're going to sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Without faith it's impossible to please God. So we're sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I start thinking about how amazing that forgiveness is. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened, or and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened with him, or quickened together with him, being, I can't even read that, having forgiveness, or forgiven you all trespass. I can quote it better than I can read it. You start thinking about, and you being dead, you were dead in trespasses and sin, but because of him, because of his mercy, he has forgiven us and made us alive. I'm glad that tonight I'm forgiven, I've been quickened, I've been made alive, and I'm like unto the glory of Jesus Christ through faith in him. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And that's all through forgiveness. I thank God for that. I'm thankful for fellowship. I just don't understand people that claim to be saved. You can't get them in church. You know, on Wednesday night, I've been teaching the book of 1 John. And the book of 1 John is pretty strong on that. We need to walk in the light as he is in the light. The Bible says if you say you have fellowship with him and you walk in darkness, you lie. In other words, you're a liar. That's pretty strong, ain't it? It doesn't add up with the Word of God. See, if you're truly thankful for God saving your soul, you're gonna live like you're thankful. You're gonna live like you're gonna bring honor and glory to his name through your life. See, if you're detrimental there, it's not going to do you any good. But see, I'm thankful for fellowship with the saints. I mean, it's good to come to church and have fellowship one with another. Don't you feel better when you come to church and you fellowship a little bit and hear those songs and preaching and you fellowship a little bit more after church and you go home? Don't you feel a little bit better inside? Amen. You don't get that staying at home. But see, I'm thankful for that fellowship. I'm thankful for the fellowship around the scriptures that we have in the Word of God. When the Word of God is read, man, and we see some of the truths in there like Psalms 100. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. I mean, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Amen. Man, I'm one of his. I mean, I'm a child of God. Glory, hallelujah, man, I'm thankful for that. I appreciate what God's done. But you know, we have the fellowship also in the Spirit. That Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit that is indwelled in us, and the Bible says that if you're saved, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. If you've got the Holy Spirit of God in you, you're one of his, and that Holy Spirit of God, when it hears the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, it starts bouncing around inside of you a little bit and saying, glory, hallelujah, man, I like that, I need some more of it, and I want some more of it. And I tell you what, God is fellowship with us through the Word of God. That's what it's all about. Without the Word of God, you can't fellowship with him. I'm thankful for my family and my friends. Look over in Proverbs with me. We're in Psalms now, just one book over. Look at Proverbs chapter 17. I'm having to read a couple extra chapters here because it was only 28 days in this month. I'll tell you what, that's kind of gets me out of sync when I do that, but that's all right. Proverbs chapter 17. Look at verse 16. It says, "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it?" You know, the heart has to be into anything and everything in order to do it. If your heart is not in serving God, you'll never serve God. If your heart's not in being true and faithful to Him, you'll never be true and faithful to Him. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But look at verse 17. "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." See, a friend loveth at all times. We have a friend in Jesus. I'm thankful for that family I've got, the family of God and the church family we got here. You know, the family, they're loving. That's like, you know, Brother Rod this morning, that blessed my heart. People coming up and giving him lozenges and water and all that stuff there. I mean, that was pretty good. And I was telling him in the prayer room, I was sitting over there and I started to say, "Won't you let Steve do that?" And then I got to think, I said, "No, let's wait and see what happens." So I just sat there and watched as he was choking and gagging and... But I don't know if you realize it or not, but there was a moving of the Holy Spirit of God in here at that time. God moved in here. You know why? Because it touched people's heart, and people's heart was wanting to go out and help him. See, that's what this church is all about. It's the church with a heart. And see, we have fellowship. The people here, they're loving. But guess what? They're loyal. I've got people here, I guarantee you, you say something bad about this preacher, you better not say anything bad about this preacher to Miss Irma. She'll bust you right in the chops. Bam. I can see that right up now. Little old lady decks some guy. 90-some years old, put him down. But those friends that you make are lasting. I mean, we've got friends that we still have friends up in North Carolina in our church up there. Every time we go up there, we see them. We just have, I mean, just like we were just there last week. We might only see them maybe once a year or so. But we're still friends. You know why? Because we got the same Father. We're part of the same family. And I thank God for that. It's special. You can go anywhere and find brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you can have fellowship with them. Now, some of these, you can't do that with everybody. Because you got to understand there's some of the children out there that are illegitimate. You've got to have the Spirit of God in order to have true fellowship with God and God's family. You've got to have that. That's a prerequisite. But, you know, I'm thankful because those friends are not only loyal, but they're lasting. They're going to be there throughout the ages. I know people that I've been friends with for years and years. Had one come to the wedding yesterday and hadn't seen him for quite a while, I guess 4, 5, 6 years. And he came up here, and I guess he works with Brother Chris. Matter of fact, Chris, I think, is his boss. And I met him at Lake Trafford Independent Baptist Church years ago and got to be friends with him. And I tried calling him up several times. I guess he's got a different phone number now. But I'll tell you what, we talked yesterday, and ladies, I got to apologize to you. He talks probably more than two women I've ever heard together. My wife and I, all we were doing is sitting there nodding like a bobblehead, you know. But we hadn't seen him. We had to catch up. He had to definitely catch up. But I tell you what, God's good. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my future. I'm not worried about the economy. Yeah. I'm not worried about ISIS. I'm not worried. Man, if they got me and cut my head off, you think I'd be worried about that? I wouldn't be. At the time they was whacking off, I'd tell them a good job of it. But glory, hallelujah, man, you've set me free. Man, you can't threaten a Christian with death. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I mean, what could be better than that? I mean, you can't threaten somebody with death if you're a child of God. I'm not worried about dying. I'm good to go, man. I'm ready. They were talking out there a while ago about making this pulpit bulletproof. And I said, if they get past them double doors, they've done a great job. I ain't worried about that at all. You say, preacher, you worried about stuff like, well, it happens all the time, man. There's people coming to church and shoots people and robs them and everything else. Got to be ready. My Bible says to be ready always. I'm ready. I can hold this book up and that bullet won't penetrate it. We had a family here years ago that the lady was they don't go to church anymore, but they, as a matter of fact, they're not even together anymore. Anyhow, she had her Bible in the car and she was going right down here on Pine Island Road. It's still two lane then. And she was going somewhere. There wasn't nothing down that way. I mean, what she was going that way for. But anyhow, her car caught on fire right there on the highway and she pulled off the side and the whole thing burned up. Everything inside of it was burned to a, I mean, just gone. But the Bible, just the outside cover, just a little bit was singed, and some of the pages were just kind of brown looking. But the Word of God, when it opened up, was just as good, as rich as it was. This book right here, you can't destroy it. The devil tries to, but you cannot destroy this book. And I thank God for that fellowship that we can have in the Word of God. I'm thankful for my future. You know, God's people have a future to look forward to that is out of this world. I mean, my retirement benefits are out of this world. I don't see retirement for a preacher anywhere in the Word of God. I'm planning on preaching till God takes me out of here or y'all get tired of me and put me out to pasture or something. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, if I get to where I got to hobble around on one leg, I can still jump the pews. I guarantee you I'm going to do it. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my future. While the lost know nothing of eternal hope, we've got it. When the lost know nothing about the redeemed children of God, we do. We have the assurance in our hearts that we are the children of God and we've got a home. Jesus said in John chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. There's a lot of people in this world that have a troubled heart. A lot of saved people have a troubled heart. Why? Because they don't let the peace of God rule in their heart. They don't read this book. You've got to have this book in there in order to give you the peace of God. And that's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. When something seems like it's completely fallen apart in your life, you can still have a smile on your face and joy in your heart because you know that you've got a Savior that loves you and He's right there with you. Our future is encouraging. I mean, I'm going to heaven. Boy, if that ain't encouraging, I don't know what is. Our future is exciting. When Paul said, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. I mean, get excited about that, man. Glory. Hallelujah. I got something waiting on me that's better than anything down here. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Our future is everlasting. I'm thankful for that. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians with me. 1 Thessalonians. I want to share something there with you. 1 Thessalonians, that's just before 2 Thessalonians, if you have a hard time finding it. Look at verse 16. You don't know your Bible good enough to know where I'm going. Chapter 4. Y'all almost made it. You only missed it by 3. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. See, the Holy Scriptures here exhort us to give thanks to God. It says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. That's over in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 8. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 20. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look on down there in verse 18. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. That's like when it rained this afternoon and I couldn't ride my motorcycle. I said, well, thank you, Lord. It would have been bad if I'd have got halfway here with my suit on and got soaking wet. And that has happened. How many of y'all ever got wet in the rain? You know, they do make umbrellas, right? You should have seen Brother Ronnie and myself yesterday afternoon out fishing. That bridge was really nice that we were parked under. Caught one that big, too. Ronnie caught one that big. That's why we were sojourning. We were just waiting for it to stop raining. But you know, as if we give thanks in everything, give thanks. I mean, I was truly thankful that bridge was right there. We didn't get hardly wet at all. But boy, after we got underneath that thing, boy, the bottom dropped. And I hate getting rained on. I hate that. I melt. I can take it by your reaction. You do not believe that. God desires his people to be a thankful people. It is his perfect will that all of his children give thanks. That's the least we can do. In everything, give thanks. The Holy Spirit of God reminds us daily to give thanks to our Heavenly Father. Everything that conspires in your life, you ought to be thankful. I mean, thank him for your food when you go out to a restaurant. I mean, thank him for just getting you out of bed every morning. Man, I tell you, sometimes I have to sit there and think about that. I said, Lord, help me. Help me get out of here. And then when I get out and get my feet down on the ground, I got to sit there and get my balance because it seems like everything's going this way. And then I got to stand up and kind of hold on to the bed to get my balance. And I said, okay, thank you, Lord, for getting me out of bed. Now help me to get finished dressed so I can go. And I tell you what, we have so much. We have so much to thank him for.
Amen.
I mean, we can thank him for... Thank you for your salvation. When's the last time you just thank God for saving your soul? Amen. I praise him. Man, think of the blessings that God gives to us. He gives us blessings. They're fresh and new daily. I praise God for that. I thank him for those blessings. And I thank him most of all for Jesus Christ, and what he's done for us.
Amen.
Praise his holy name. Let's all stand to our feet, every eye closed, every head bowed.